and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Joshua, chapter 23, beginning with the first verse. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, vacations are nice for many different reasons. It's nice to get away for a while, to get a change of pace, switch gears a little bit. Maybe you get to see family members you haven't seen since last time. Do things you wouldn't normally do. See things you wouldn't normally see. One of the best things about vacation is the rest and relaxation that it offers. Vacations allow you to get away from it all, to let your mind think about different things. Simply to recharge the batteries. Vacations are nice. But what happens when you need rest for your soul? Today we see that rest for your soul is won for us by Christ and is offered to us by His Word. Joshua was a leader of the people when they entered into Canaan, the promised land. He was their leader and led them in that first battle against the city of Jericho. You may remember that battle. It really wasn't much of a battle at all. Now the Israelites, for 6 days, marched around this fortified city once. And then on the seventh day, they marched around this city 7 times. And after the seventh time, they blew their horns and shouted, and the walls crumbled to the ground. The Israelites rushed in and killed all the survivors. Should have been abundantly clear to those Israelites that they did absolutely nothing to win this battle. It's impossible for brick and mortar to crumble at the sound of trumpets and some loud voices. God did that. It was God who gave them that victory. It was God who was with them. And if that wasn't clear to them at the Battle of Jericho, then it was certainly clear to them at their next battle against the town of Ai. A small town. The Israelites should have had no problem defeating Ai, as they greatly outnumbered the town. But God had commanded the Israelites when they faced Jericho, do not take any of the possessions of Jericho for your own. But a man named Achan did and hid them under his tent. So when the Israelites went against Ai, God was not with them, and they got routed by that small town, humiliated by them. It wasn't until Achan was found out and punished, and God was with the people, that they then soundly defeated Ai. So the Israelites had no room to brag, no room to boast about themselves. They didn't win these victories because of their own power and might, but because God was with them. They were powerless against their enemies on their own. God would be with the Israelites throughout the conquest of Canaan. He gave them victory over victory. They overtook fortified city after fortified city. They caused nation after nation to flee their land. At the end of his life, when he was getting old, Joshua, in our text for today, reminds the Israelites of everything God had done for them against their enemies. You yourselves have seen the Lord your God, all the Lord your God has done to you, has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as He promised. It didn't take all that long for the Israelites to take control of Canaan. In just 6 short years, they had driven out the majority of their enemies and subdued the nations. And then, God had given them a gift that they hadn't had probably since the time of Joseph. Rest. Peace. No more slavery. No wandering in the wilderness. No wars. No battles. No really enemies that can do them harm. Rest. Rest from all their hard work. Rest that none of their enemies could touch them because God was fighting for them. Reminds us of what God has done for us. Like the Israelites, we are powerless against our enemies. Take Adam and Eve, for example. Adam and Eve, who created in God's image. Adam and Eve, who are perfect and holy. And yet when the devil in the form of a serpent came to Adam and Eve, they were powerless against him. Failed miserably, utterly destroyed when they doubted God's love for them and listened to the devil and ate that forbidden fruit and brought sin into the world and death through sin. Ever since then, we have been powerless against sin, death, and the devil. God knew it. So he promised Adam and Eve a Savior. One of their descendants would come and he would defeat Satan for us. The promise that God reiterated again and again to his people from Abraham to David. And then when the time had fully come, God sent his son, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, a descendant of Adam and Abraham and David. Jesus, who lived a perfect life, not once disobeying God's commands, not once committing a crime, and yet sentenced and condemned to death on a cross. A place where Jesus went willingly, because he knew that on the cross he would give us his perfect life as he takes away the guilt, the condemnation, the guilt of our sins, and pay for the condemnation that we deserve. Satan thought that he had won that day. When Jesus died, Satan thought that he had finally won that victory over God. He had deceived man again. He convinced them to put Jesus, the Son of God, to death. God himself dead. Satan thought that he had finally got that knockout blow. Of course, we know what happened. Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after his death. Prove that he is the Son of God. So he defeated death. He took away sin. And when he rose from the dead victorious, he crushed Satan's head. That fatal blow that Satan thought he had hit was just a strike on the heel. And our Lord fatally wounded our enemy. We were powerless against the devil. Couldn't do anything about our sins. Death faced us all. But Jesus wasn't powerless. So he won that ultimate victory over sin, death, and the devil. As Paul points out in Romans 5, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And now we have peace. Now we have rest. Rest from fighting battles we can't win. Rest from the attacks of Satan. Rest from our sin. Rest from the sting of death. We have God on our side. When the world presses in around us, when we are tempted by our sinful nature, when the devil tries to deceive us, we hide behind our Lord. And know that He is there, that He has won that victory for us. He gives us that ultimate victory for our enemies, and we know that no adversaries of ours can touch us. Christ offers this rest to all. It is received through faith, and it is found in His Word. So as those who have faith, we cling to His Word instead of going on along with the ways of the world. After reminding the Israelites of everything the Lord had done for them, the victory He had won for them, Joshua then informs the Israelites, or reminds the Israelites, of what their reaction should be. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. The Lord's faithfulness in keeping His promise was the Israelites' motivation to be faithful to Him by keeping His word. And they were to keep all that is written. Not just some of it. Not just the commands that they agreed with. Not just the ones that went along with their lifestyle. Not the ones that they enjoy. They understood. But all the commands. Because they were commands of God, they were to obey all of them. And one specific command of God to the Israelites was that they are to stay away from the sinful nations around them. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Although God had given the Israelites victory after victory, there are still some nations around them. They didn't completely destroy their enemies as God wanted them to. They allowed them to live in their land and surrounding the land of Canaan. These nations were wicked, doing many disgusting and horrible things. They bowed down and worshipped false gods. So God didn't want them to have anything to do with these wicked nations. He didn't want them to be led astray. He didn't want them to be enticed away by the things of this world. He didn't want them to be bowing down and worshiping these false gods. But that's exactly what happened. The Israelites didn't listen to God's command. They didn't obey everything that is found in the law of Moses. They rejected God and failed to listen to His word, and most stopped even worshiping the Lord and began to mingle with the sinful world around them. They soon intermarried with the evil nations, and then they did what God warned them not to do, and they began to worship their false gods. God's people, His chosen nation, His dear children from which the Savior would come, we're now praying to, we're now offering sacrifices to idols. Worshiping these false gods, and the worship of these false gods often included horrible and disgusting practices like ritual orgies and sacrificing their children in fire. And that's exactly what the Israelites did, joining these ritual orgies to Baal and Asherah and sacrificing their own children in fires to gods like Molech. And that brought them no peace, no rest. It may have been fun. It may have been what they wanted to do. But there's no rest. Battles and wars. Economic woes and famines. Problem after problem because they failed to listen to the word of the Lord. They had no rest. And they rejected God's rest because they rejected His word. At the end of our second lesson, the writer to the Hebrews warns us, don't fall by following their example of disobedience. Now God's commandments, His moral law, still stands for us today. It's summarized by the Ten Commandments, His will for all people of all time is what we obey. All of it. Not picking and choosing, and not falling off to the right or to the left. He still commands us to keep away from those who don't teach everything that is found written in His Word. He still tells us, do not love the world or anything in the world. But like the Israelites, we often stray from God as we are enticed away by the world. You see how they live their lives, all the fun they have, the money and possessions they gain, and you want to be like them. Sure, you want to be a Christian. Sure, you want to follow God, but you also want to live like the rest of the world, to be normal. And we become so enticed by the way of the world, and we begin to listen to them and to listen to what the world says is true or acceptable or noble, that we forget about what God says in His Word. We become so busy in our lives. And you become so busy, one of the first things that you push away to the side is your study of God and the worship of Him. You have good intentions, but you can just forget it this day and forget it that day. Or maybe you do still go on with your Bible readings, but you just go through it as fast as you can to get it over with without really retaining anything. And before you know it, your knowledge of God's Word dwindles and becomes a little fuzzy. And the devil creates doubts in your minds about creation or the resurrection or about homosexuality. Whatever he can do to create doubt in your minds like he did to Adam and Eve. And you have no rest. You begin to follow the example of the world and the simple people around you. Your priorities get all of whack. Your children's activities, sleep or fun or hobbies or work, they all become more important than God and His Word. Sure, you may not bow down and worship false gods like the Israelites did, or sacrifice your children in the fire to them, but you bow down to the pressures of the world. You worship at the altar of wealth or power or fun. You sacrifice your children's spiritual lives for the sake of a wealth of activities. And as a result, you have no peace, no rest. You get so busy you have no time for rest. No time to receive rest in God's Word. And you have problems at work. You have money issues. You have health thoughts in your mind. The way of the world only leads to strife. Arguments with your neighbors. Commitments to make. Deadlines to meet. Your life is full of stress. And turning to the things of the world offer no rest, no peace of mind, nothing to calm your soul. There's only one thing that does. The gospel. So you turn to God and His Word, and there you find rest for your weary soul. For there you learn about Christ. About the victory He has won for you against your enemy, the devil. About the sins He has removed, never to return to condemn you. About the protection He offers you from the world. knowing that the devil cannot control you, knowing that the world cannot harm you, knowing that Christ has paid your debt, brings rest to your weary soul. And best of all, you know the rest that awaits you. The eternal rest in heaven. Rest from your enemies. Rest from the devil who cannot touch you. Rest from sin. No deadlines, no appointments, no commitments, no stress, no worries. Just a life with your Savior forever. The rest you get on vacation is great. But how much greater is rest for your soul found in His Word? He has given you a peaceful vacation day after day. So make sure daily to receive that vacation for your soul. Get into the Word. See the one who has won that victory over your enemies. Find rest for your weary soul. Don't let the ways of the world entice you away, but cling to the Word of the Lord. For it is through it alone that brings rest for your soul and leads you to that eternal rest with your Savior forever. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.